How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, the ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America, One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America, One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
I would say if the authorities didn't want us involved in the public square, they ought not to have crucified Jesus in the public square.
Use humanistic principles.
Well, I would say,
the same idea.
Yeah, I would say same that. I would say, what's the problem with stardust bumping into stardust?
In the cosmic picture, no, there's no problem. In the cosmic picture, it won't matter.
No, Mr. President, you are not protecting reproductive freedom. You are authorizing the destruction of freedom for 1 million little human beings every year.
I'm sorry, my friends, but I am tired of seeing Jesus presented as a weak beggar. He is a powerful Savior, and the gospel is not a suggestion, it is a command.
Reverend Mola, don't you sympathize with that?
I sympathize with every single human heart wishing to know the one true and living God, but I believe there's only one way that can happen, through Jesus Christ, and the gospel is about repenting of sin, not celebrating it.
Right now, you're on the threshold of an amazing adventure. We will explore the spiritual abyss. You have not experienced this before. You're gonna love it.
What's up, y'all? This is the gospel heard around the world. It's Apologia Radio, where Jesus is the Lord of glory and the Lord of these airwaves. This is your host, Jeff Durbin. I can get away with that right now, Joy, because Luke, the bear, is still on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can do this all that I want.
All you want.
There's no stopping me. I can just play every one of my...
You know me? Of course you do. That's because I'm famous.
I'm going to just go ahead and do them all.
I gotta have more cowbells. Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription... it's more cowbell.
You have multiple clips of that.
He can't stop me. He can't give me those beady little eyes behind that furry little beard of his.
What's the matter with you people? I was joking. Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
Okay, I think I've got my fill now. I'm good.
That's
now, Joy.
That's all you have?
That's all I have.
Okay.
I mean, for now, there probably will be more.
All right.
It's because there's no stopping me today.
More of that one that you love to play.
Which one is the one you're... this one you're talking about?
You know me? Of course you do.
That's because I'm famous.
I'm pretty sure it's the cowbell one that I'm referring to.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, we're in the studio today. It's just you and I today.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time, Joy,
yeah,
that we've done this.
Mm-hmm.
And so... this is going to be kind of a different episode.
Oh, yeah.
But altogether as exciting as any other episode.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys don't know, this is Joy Temby. We call her the girl because that's what she is.
Yep.
She's a girl. And she's awesome. I was just telling Joy, I think Joy is the perfect addition to the show. I noticed in the last episode when I listened to it to make sure it went all the way through and recorded everything right, that there were times where I was going to say something and Joy just read my mind and finished, like, went into what she was going to say before I even actually finished what I was going to say, because that's just, you know, how in tune we are.
Oh, yeah.
So we love Joy the girl.
Yeah.
So we're today talking about what I think are some foundational issues. Apologia Radio, you can get us at apologiaradio.com. Go like us on the Facebook page, Apologia Radio on Facebook. Like the page, and you can participate in the dialogue. We asked you guys to ask some questions in the last episode. We had like something 70-some-odd questions between my page and the Apologia Radio page. So we just were so thankful you guys are participating. We want to do that more and have you guys actively participating, praying for this ministry. You can give through the ministry website, apologiaradio.com. But we believe that our role on this show, Joy knows this, the whole purpose of the show is that we really believe we need to bring the gospel into the culture and speak into it, be a prophetic voice, in a sense, into the culture. And so we want to talk about some important issues that affect us being able to leave a legacy for the gospel into the next generation and the generation after that and 100 generations down after that. So what we want to do is have an effective ministry that speaks to cultural issues that are very important and that are vital issues to discuss. And so today, I wanted to talk to our listening audience, to the culture. I want to talk to us about education. Joy, this is an interesting thing for me because I think you know this about me. I used to be the most anti-Christian education and homeschooling person that you can imagine. I mean, yeah. I utterly dissed people that did it. I used to talk about, you know, oh, it's just ridiculous. They're like escapists. They're trying to get away from the world and live in a Christian ghetto and a Christian bubble. I mean, I used to have some nasty, rough things to say about people that would even suggest the idea that we pull our kids out of government schools and public schools.
Yeah. And well, I was very pro. I wasn't necessarily anti-homeschool, though I did have the idea that they're all kind of
homeschool woodpeckers.
Weird.
Yeah.
People,
right.
Which they aren't.
Me too.
They are not.
No,
like
no,
that.
No.
But I was very pro public school. A lot of my heroes were my teachers, people that I wanted to be like. I wanted to be a teacher for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's how it was.
Yeah.
I was totally pro.
Yeah.
School.
Yeah. And so I think for me, what it was, Joy, was reading Greg Bonson's book. It was on apologetics. Oddly enough, it was that book that caused the transformation of my mind in the sense of just what is Jesus Lord of? My reasoning as well?
Yeah.
Is there any brute fact in the universe? It was Greg Bonson's book, Always Ready, on Christian apologetics. Now, the book opens up with numerous essays. I think it was his syllabus work from a seminary on the starting points. Where is knowledge found? And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ. That Jesus says you're either for him or against him. That ultimately there's no brute or neutral fact in the universe apart from God. Proverbs 1 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so it's something we talk about often, that apart from God you can't really ultimately know anything legitimately. And so there was those things. And realizing that I was sending my kids to public school system, and we kept hitting these walls, Joy. Like, we kept running into problems. Like, I'll give you one example. Imogen, my daughter, was little. She was very, very small. She was at recess, and there was a kid who was a, quote, atheist kid. I mean,
wow.
Interesting, right, at that age, about 7 years old or so. And on the playground, he came up to her, and he started talking to her about how there's no God. This is at recess, on their own time, playground, and he starts talking about how there's no God, and so she says, no, there is, and she says, and if you don't believe in Christ, you're going to go to hell one day. And my sister was brought before the tribunal. My daughter was brought before the tribunal. She was brought before her teacher, and she was chastised for speaking about God in school, but it was really not her that instigated the conversation. It was the other kid, and the other kid was coddled and patted and encouraged,
yeah.
and my daughter was dissed. I was asked to do an art masterpiece class as a volunteer, and in the art masterpiece class for like kindergartners, they wanted to have me teach an evolutionary worldview. And so I'm running into all these problems, and I'm realizing, goodness gracious, Lord, what am I going to do about this? And so that brings me into the discussion. What are we to do with the issue of education? Because whoever teaches this next generation owns the next generation in the future. And so what are we to do with the education of our children? Should we send them to public schools? Should we give them a Christian education or homeschool education? And to do that, I wanted to talk about something that I think is one of the most important documentaries from a Christian perspective of our time. And I mean that because of the issue that it hits is so foundational to where we're going to go from here. Considering the fact that upwards of 85% of kids today, this is a long-going statistic, 85% of kids raised in Christian homes going to church when they go off to college, abandon Christ either permanently or through college. 85% is the statistic. And so there's a film called Indoctrination. I'm going to play for you guys the trailer now. It is a phenomenal movie. You need to get a copy of it. Go to indoctrinationmovie.com. I'm going to go ahead and play the clip, and we have the co-director of the film on the air with us. And so after we go through the trailer, we'll have a talk with him.
I want to see a child in every public school in America who is trained as a witness for Jesus Christ.
When you send that child off to school today, you're sending them into a pagan society.
And the studies are showing that there's virtually no discernible difference between the church and the world. At what point is Southern Baptist going to rise up and say, enough is enough?
Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation.
We've got to do something different. The schools are failing.
And I'll go to 6 or 7 days a week, not just Monday through Friday.
You're not going to be painting, okay? You're going to be writing down whatever comes to your mind when you hear the word gay or when you hear the word lesbian.
So nothing's right or wrong
either? That's right.
They are stealing our children. But because they are leaving the body of the child with us, we don't even know it's happening.
If I had my way, government education would be brought to a halt.
Trying to fix public education is like trying to teach a pig how to dance. You get dirty and the pig gets mad.
Turning your children over to total strangers and having those strangers work on your child's mind, it's a mad idea.
Public schools have become a criminal enterprise.
Parents are willing to admit that there are these problems and yet believe that their children will somehow escape. They won't.
And it may have taken a school shooting to wake us up to see the danger, but that's a very small danger compared to all the other things that go on that can destroy our children.
A teacher is in trouble for bringing a religion into his classroom, but should he lose his
job?
When
we go into a public school, we have to leave God at the door. It just came to the point where I couldn't do that anymore.
Jesus said, build your house upon the rock. But the foolish man refused the words of Christ, would not build their education systems on the fear of God, on the words of Christ.
Everything exists to proclaim the glory of God. And the one place where we send our kids 7 hours a day is a place where God's name can't be mentioned. It's not indoctrination, it's insanity.
All right, that was Indoctrination, the movie. That was the trailer for the film. Again, go to indoctrinationmovie.com. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on now. We're about to get out of this segment, but our guest for today is Joaquin Fernandez. Joaquin, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We're so delighted that you joined us for this episode of Apologia Radio. Listen, we're getting out of this segment, but I wanted to introduce you. You are the co-director, like co-producer, you did the photography, all that stuff for the film. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I operated the camera, so I was behind the camera. My co-director and co-producer, Colin Gunn, was in front of the camera, and I was behind the camera. I edited the film, but we wrote it together, we produced it together, and we directed it together.
And it's with Gunn Productions, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. IndoctrinationMovie.com, guys. Go get a copy of the film. It was amazing. I actually watched it with my 13-year-old, who is now homeschooled, and he was delighted watching the film and was in awe himself. Get the film. We'll be back right here, ApologiaRadio.com.
Right back.
It's true, I crave you. It's true, I crave you.
Welcome back, Apologia Radio. This is your host, Jeff Durbin, with the girl, Joy Temby.
Hello.
Do you guys think Joy is as awesome as I do? With the spirit beard, Jeremy's bouncing his head up and down in the texting you. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, we're back right here on Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. Join the movement. We are brought to you by the American Vision. Go get them, guys. AmericanVision.org or AmericanVision.com. Get some materials, particularly materials on the Christian worldview, which is really what we're describing today when we talk about the education system and what we need to do as Christians in raising our children up in the Lord. And so get them. And go tell them thank you in the comments for supporting Apologia Radio when you get stuff. We're on the episode today with Joaquin Fernandez, the co-director, co-producer, filmmaker of the movie Indoctrination. Indoctrination, phenomenal film. And I'm telling you right now, you need to get it. It'll blow your mind. You'll be stunned. Your jaw will drop. It's amazing. Well, Joaquin, I wanted to talk to you, and I know there's a lot we can do, but I want to try to utilize this time and get everything we can out of it. So I wanted to talk to you about, there were three specific areas that we spoke about over the phone that you thought were important to talk about. The first area was what?
Well, we tried with the film to make a case against Christians using the public schools for the training of their children. And so we set out to do it by making three cases, a biblical case primarily. Then we made a historical case, and we also made a sort of experiential or empirical case. And so what I mean by that is that we went to Scripture to see what God says about the training and the nurture and admonition of children in the Lord. And we also went back in history to see, where did this beast that we call the public school system come from? Is it an American system, or did it come from another continent altogether, which is what we found out, and what are sort of the nefarious roots of it? We tend to think, the church in the United States, that the schools used to be Christian because there was Bible and prayer in the classroom, but as we demonstrated in our film, that was just because, of course, the nation was sort of still in the shadow of Christendom, but the founders of the system were not Christians at all. And so we can discuss that as well. But the third was more of an empirical, sort of experiential, by interviewing whistleblowers, teachers, principals, students, et cetera, who have a firsthand account of what is actually going on in schools today that many parents are absolutely unaware of. And I'm not only speaking of the violence and the drugs, I'm talking about the ideological indoctrination.
Let's talk about the two points that I think you're so helpful on, and I'm gonna make sure that our audience gets a chance to hear this, how important it may be. And I want to ask our audience, if you're listening to the show right now and you are a big supporter of public schools and you're a Christian, you love Jesus, listen, we love you and we know that you love the Lord, but we just want you to hear us with humility. Please just hear us with patience and just listen to what's being said here and just, you know, open your mind to the possibility that something may be wrong here. So, Joaquin, when you talk about where this education system comes from, like, where do we start with that? Help us to understand that. If they haven't seen the film yet, what are you aiming at?
Well, we can do it sort of backwards. We can see what's happened in the recent decades with No Child Left Behind and Reach for the Top, you know, these sort of government-sponsored, federal-sponsored approaches to improving education. And now we're facing the common standards that are trying to reach every classroom in the nation, so basically standardizing everything so that every child is taught the same thing. And so, of course, we know that that's not how God sees things. Each child is individual. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. Well, that implies that there's a way that we should do it as prescribed by the Lord, but also there is a way that each individual child learns. And so those of us who home educate know that. If we have more than one child, you know that very well. Mm. But if we keep going back in time, you know, so in the 60s, the Bible was removed and prayer from the public schools by the Supreme Court. And so if you keep going back, then you start talking about the and we do all this in the film, we start talking about the Industrial Revolution, where you needed to have basically a workforce for factories and that kind of production. And so the entrepreneurial spirit and the even the environment of the United States, where maybe 100 and some years ago, I've heard the statistic, the number that 70% of the population employed the other 30%. And now we have it reversed, where 30%, perhaps even less, of the population employs the other 70%. Well, that was part of the Industrial Revolution, and it has its blessings and its curses, I suppose, but the education system was impacted by that. In fact, it was redesigned to fit that and to meet that need. That's why you have the Carnegies and the Rockefellers donating tons of money to these blue ribbon commissions that were committees that were supposed to study, you know, the needs of the nation. And so they went in there and studied all sorts of things and came up with these studies that showed that you need to have standardization, because the University A on the East Coast is recruiting, so to speak, high school students from their schools all over the nation. Well, how do you know that a student in the typical school A, let's say somewhere in Boston, the student, an A student, how does he measure up to an A student in the Midwest? And so they started standardizing things. So John Taylor Gatto, who we interviewed in the film, if you ask him, who are the fathers of the modern public school system, he would say it's the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, et cetera, the J.P. Morgans, because those are the people who actually funded the studies to change the education system. Now, if you keep going back further, many people would have the answer to who are the fathers of the public school system. Of course, Horace Mann and If You Go to Boston, which we did in the film, you see the statue right there, and it says Father of Modern Education or Public Education. John Dewey is another one. John Dewey, of course, was a humanist and an atheist, and he was one of the signers of the Humanist Manifesto. And
well, talk about that. He's one of the signers of the Humanist Manifesto, and I think that's important. You're talking about one of the fathers of American public education system. That's his worldview. And so you mentioned him in the film, but why do you think that should impact us as Christians when you think about someone like that as a father of the American public school system and education system? Why should that affect us?
Well, in the film, and also in a book, we also have a book by the same name, Indoctrination, Public Schools and the Decline of Christianity. And in the book, we have chapters written by different people that are in the film, and one of those is Jeffrey Botkin. And he has an article in the book, The History of I forget the title, but the fifth of that chapter, but The History of History Books or something like that. And so the curriculum developers, that does not happen by accident. The textbooks are written by people who have an ideology and a worldview. And so these are many of these curriculum developers are the ideological children of John Dewey. So, you know, when you have in a classroom, even in the best public school in the best neighborhood in the nation, you have
Joaquin, we'll get that right after the break. We're cutting right into the commercial right now. We'll be right back with Joaquin Fernandez from IndoctrinationMovie.com. Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. Like the Facebook page. In the studio today, without the bear.
Yep.
Without the bear.
The last episode when you kept talking about gun control and you're saying that we had the right to bear arms.
Yes.
I just kept thinking about Luke.
Luke's furry
Luke's
arms.
Bear arms.
Awesome. So there's actually a lot more room in the studio today. Look, you got your foot up. You're like kicked back and relaxed. Mm-hmm. You got your feet in the. She has her feet right now in Luke's chair and just kicked back.
I do.
And so we have there's less hair in the room right now, less fur, and less sweat because Luke does a lot of sweating in here.
He does.
So welcome back to Apologia Radio again. We're on this episode with Joaquin Fernandez from the Indoctrination film. Get it at IndoctrinationMovie.com. Phenomenal film. Got to get it. Again, it'll trip you out. It's going to blow your mind. Joaquin, we were talking about the significance of having someone that's a writer of a Humanist Manifesto as one of the fathers of the American education system. Talk to us more about that.
Well, if you have a student, even in the best public school in the nation, learning about history, and God has nothing to do with that. It's just men and women sort of as the engines of history. Whatever man does, that's what happens. So God's providential history is absent from the best public school curriculum and classroom. If you have biology and God is absent from that because origins, nothing to do with what God says, but
right.
with what man thinks, even math, any subject matter that you think of, when you take God out of the equation, what you're saying is man is the center of the universe. And so that's what humanism is, basically.
Right.
So you have, so Christian parents, when they send their children to be trained for 15, 16,000 hours, K through 12, sitting in a classroom, you can't escape that. That is how a child is trained.
Yes.
So, yes, we are the children, the ideological children of John Dewey. I'm talking about the modern public school system.
And I think what you're saying there is that what our listeners need to understand here is that what we're saying is that there is no real neutrality here in this issue of education and knowledge and how we can know what we know, or in science, or in language, or in poetry. There's no neutrality. There's no brute fact. And if you don't know what I mean by that, I'm saying that there's nothing that's just there that nobody interprets. There's always an interpretation. When you talk about science, there's an interpretation. You're either looking at it from a Christian theistic perspective with the foundation of Jesus as Lord, as creator of all things, or you're looking at it devoid of that, in opposition to Jesus, and you're going to do science apart from God. The question, obviously, from an apologetic standpoint, is it even possible to do science apart from God? Of course not. But you have to understand that when we send our children to these schools, the foundations of the public school education system is a foundation that is ultimately godless, and that's what we're aiming at. Correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Someone famously said, and I think it was either Andre Rustuni or Henry Van Til or someone like that, who said that all education is intrinsically religious. So you cannot escape the fact that what you teach has a worldview and it has a set of presuppositions.
Yes. No, I'm so glad, Joaquin, that you said that, because that's a good point to mark on the spot of this show, is that all education is religious. And so what do you mean by religious? Well, all education is going to have a explanation of origins. It's going to have an explanation of a metaphysic, what is real, what is there, a metaphysic, an ontology. All education is going to have a theory of how you know what you know. How do we know this? What's true? And it's also going to have an ethic. All education has an ethic. And also, all education is going to look at history and either going to see God's providential hand and a sovereign God who's behind history and explain it in that sense, or, again, it's just brute facts and it's just sort of atoms banging around and things happening in history. That, and I think that's what you're aiming at there when you have a system that's apart from God and godless, without God as a foundation. So Joaquin, talk to us some more. Go ahead.
Let me tell you just this. I mean, I heard you say that your show is sponsored by the American Vision.
Yeah.
And I am very grateful for them, because several of the interviews that are in the film were shot during their conferences. And they had excellent speakers together, Gary North and David Getch. And
wow.
Several other men, and so we have them in the film. But as you know, American Vision is very strong on their eschatology. I find it very ironic, if not tragic, that you have a lot of Christians who say, "Well, no, education is not religious. We're just sending our kids to learn how to read, write, you know, and do arithmetic, and which is that's another question altogether." But they strongly believe that Christ will come back for the church, and they believe in the rapture, and they invest millions of dollars in that, and there's all sorts of ministries surrounding that, so which would be laughable to the secularists. So someone who's in secular education would say, this is absolutely ridiculous. Where are you getting this? You know, that somehow God's going to come and rescue the church or whatever. But at the same time, so it's kind of like there's a little schizophrenia there.
Hang on to that. You're making an important point, Joaquin. You're making an important point. Let's get that right after the break.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like the picture of Luke and Joy and I. I hate that picture, Joy. I really don't like it. Like, I don't know, something was wrong with my beard that day. I had like shaved it wrong or something. There's like a whole patch missing. I look ridiculous. I look like I got in a fight with somebody and they like grab the hair off my face and pull it or something like that.
My spirit beard looks flawless.
Yes, it actually does. Okay, all right, all right. So you can see what we look like and check us out. Facebook, Apologia Radio, like the page, share us with your friends. On the episode today with Joaquin Fernandez talking about Indoctrination, the film. Get the film. All right, take it from me. Get the film. It's going to spin you. You're going to be amazed. Joaquin, you were finishing up the segment we were on last. You were talking about the eschatology, and I agree with you. The American vision, I think, has a biblical view of the future, and that is that Christ is king, and he reigns and rules, and we're looking at a future of leaving a legacy for the gospel where the whole world is transformed by Christ. And so you're looking at long-term social transformation because of the gospel. But when we look at an escapist view of the future, that we're just going to get raptured out, we don't make those long-term plans for the future.
Exactly.
We're not thinking about building the future for my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids and looking at education system and saying, is this going to do that?
Exactly. Well, look at it this way. I mean, here we are in 2013, right? And very few Christians today have a long-term vision, like you just mentioned. But
let's
hear what A.A. Hodge, who was the principal at Princeton Theological Seminary, later university, he had this to say in 1887. Okay, so he says this: "I am sure, as I am of Christ's reign, that a comprehensive and centralized system of national education, separated from religion, as is now commonly proposed," back in 1887, "will prove the most appalling enginery for the propagation of anti-Christian and atheistic unbelief and of anti-social nihilistic ethics, individual, social, and political, which this sin-rent world has ever seen."
Man.
And we have that quote in the film, and one of the fun things that we do in the film is we have these little animations. You know, the whole film is structured around our bus tour, where my co-director Colin Gunn and his homeschool family of seven at the time go from Texas all the way up to Boston to the root and the origin of this whole monster of the public school system that we have. And so throughout the film, we do this historical timeline that a lot of people really, really appreciate in the movie. And it's this little kind of funny animation of the bus going through a timeline. And so we have different characters come out and speak. Normally the bad guys. We have all the, you know, we have Darwin and we have
Karl Marx.
So A.A. Hodge is one of the only guys, the good guys that come out in the animation, and he says that in a really kind of hilarious voice there. But people really appreciate that. You know,
I truly did. And the reason I wanted you to talk about that was because when I watched the film two or three times before, and then when we nailed this down where we can get you on this episode, I was thrilled. I listened to the episode again, and it was that quote. My goodness, it was prophetic almost. It was, if this happens, if this transition happens from private schooling done by the family and ultimately the church, and it changes over to a government-owned system and government-directed system, that quote was prophetic. It talked about what would happen with our morals. It talked about what would happen with the world and life view that we would have. And I'm telling you, it sounded almost prophetic. It was a voice, I think, of truth in a culture that just got abandoned ultimately. Joy, how do you feel about that? When you hear that, like, I mean, does that impact you like it does me? I mean, you can say yes or no, but it hit me hard. I'm just still buzzing by it.
Yeah, well, it definitely does. And I think that another point that quote makes is that not too long ago, there wasn't a public school system.
Right.
I think it's just one of those things, and we've kind of touched on this in other shows. We just think that it has always been that way. We always think that there's been public police forces. We think that it's just always been that way, but it just hasn't.
Yeah.
And you discuss a lot in the documentary about how a lot of the leaders of our nation, a lot of the people that kids are learning about in school were not actually schooled. They were just educated.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the difference between someone who received schooling and someone who receives an education?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I mentioned before that I'm a homeschooler. I'm a home educator. As a father, that is. I was not home educated as a child. But When we started, we went through the whole gamut of, well, you know, kind of school at home, and then, you know, we needed a set curriculum, and then we sort of, oh, well, we can mix and match. And so now we have a different view. Now we have four children, and you know, we understand that this is truly about discipling our own children and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord,
yeah.
Really preparing warriors, you know. Bodhi Bakum is in our film, and he mentioned something about, you know, I'm not going to use the quiver, the arrows that are in my quiver, and hand them over to the enemy so they can sharpen those arrows and shoot them back at me, which is what's happening, really. You know, you have the conservatives who are fighting against Obamacare, but then they are buying into a very large a welfare system, educational welfare. What is the public school system if it's not educational welfare?
Right. It's built on ultimately a godless idea of coercion, taking money from someone and then putting it over here. So there's some coercion there in the taxation of it. And you think about the fact that about 3/4 of property taxes go to fund the public education system. So there's that problem. We think from a biblical perspective, is that a godly or righteous thing to do to somebody? But yeah, you're right. It is an ultimate welfare system in that sense. Now, what was interesting is can you remind or at least tell our listeners, at the beginning of the film, what Joy was aiming at there was they talked about some of the heroes we have in the past, these giants, these intellectual thinkers. They weren't raised in a public school education system. Like, who were they? Like, tell us about them.
Well, some of the people that we have in the movie that we quoted are Robert Dabney. We have, like I said before, A.A. Hodge. But, you know, one of the interviews that we have is with John Taylor Gatto, who was a Teacher of the Year in both New York State and New York City back in the 80s, and he's written tons of great stuff, and we went to New York City to interview him with our bus, school bus. We traveled around the country on a big school bus, and so he pointed out that, you know, George Washington and Jefferson, he said Thomas Jefferson was in charge of, I don't know what the number of acres, but 200-some acre farm when he was 14, 13, and he said, you know, George Washington had 1 year of formal education. They were mostly homeschooled or had tutors to come. And, of course, you know, when we had a study, Jefferson actually commissioned a study by a man by the last name DuPont, where the paint comes from. And he found that there was 98% literacy back then. And, of course, what do we have now when we have, you know, the vast majority of American children coming out of the public schools are functional illiterate, so yeah. They can't really read and understand the local newspaper. Hmm.
That's powerful. And, you know, when I was getting into this, I got to confess this for a second. When I was getting into the homeschool, I was like, well, how do we do this? Like, how does it work? Like, I was worried about it. Let me just share this with you guys just briefly, and I'm going to finish with Joaquin here. My daughter, a Sailor, my youngest daughter, is about 3 grades ahead in where she should be for her math, and I think her literature stuff and everything. The girl is brilliant, and it's amazing that she's so fast in her at her own pace of learning that she can get something, swallow it, know it for good, and we can move her faster. She's ahead of where she should be in her schooling now, according to regular quote-unquote standards. My daughter Imogen is ahead also in her math and everything. She's just gone up and above because she can do it. It's like private lesson training. My son Sage is a homeschooled ninja nerd. The other night we were talking about the Civil War stuff. I was talking about theological issues in the Civil War, and he began to correct me, citing original source documents and major players and dates of issues in the Civil War. He schooled me. The boy's 13 years old, and he's a ninja, history ninja. They're bright and sharp and kids, and so it's amazing. The education they get on their own like that is just stellar. It's amazing. It truly is interesting. And my kids have had interactions over the years, of course, with tons of other kids. This idea of not socializing is a false notion. My kids have more friends. We had a girl stay at our house last night. I mean, to spend the night from their co-op program. But my kids have interacted with other public school kids, and when they talk, it's amazing to find how much farther ahead in education my kids are. This is not to brag. It's a point to note. What I was worried about taking my kids out of the public school education system is something that's been alleviated by my own experience to say, wow, it is amazing what you can do with these kids.
Well, and I think the idea that homeschool kids aren't socially stimulated, is just, I don't even know where that comes from. It's just another thing that's indoctrinated into us, because I never even knew ever in my life until I was probably 14 or 15 years old did I know someone who was homeschooled. And yet I knew they were weird.
Right.
Or whatever. I just knew these things about them, but I never even knew a homeschooled person.
Yeah.
It's just another thing that's kind of.
Yeah. They're weird. They're like hermits and they have no friends and everything. That's not my kids. My kids are crazy.
And if you keep your kids out of school, they're not going to be socially developed.
Yeah.
And that's a serious problem. They're almost like attacking. It's like attacking a parent, saying you're not going to be as good of a parent if you don't let your kids flourish socially.
Right. That's right.
And that's horrible
it
when
is.
You do that.
It is. Joaquin, talk to us about some of the empirical stuff briefly as we get into at the end of this episode.
Well, we interviewed several eyewitnesses. You mentioned John Taylor Gatto. We have also an elementary school teacher as a Christian who gives her testimony, one of the most powerful things in the film, actually, in my opinion, and many people agree with that. It's a female teacher, Mike Matarko, who was a principal at one of the best schools up in Pennsylvania, in Bethlehem there. Robert Ziegler, who's another teacher who got fired, actually, for not refusing to name the name of Jesus in the classroom. R.C. Murray, who wrote Legally Stupid. David Getch. Then we also have some other experts on politics. We have Neil McCluskey from the Cato Institute and Samuel Blumenfeld, who's a historian. And so we try to make the reason we made this film was really because we love the Bride of Christ. We love our Lord, and we love the Bride. And so our heart is not really to, and we've spoken some strong things in this interview, and there's some really impactful hard to swallow things in the film, but the desire that we that was birthed in us to do this film was consider your ways. What does God have to say? What is the fruit of this tree called public education? Do you want the hearts of your children? And so that's really why. And we did it in a loving way. We were not trying to offend, in an article.
You certainly did.
I'm writing a column for the Old School House magazine, a monthly column. And in the first column, I am writing that removing scales from the eye is always an uncomfortable proposition because you have to poke the eye. And so people tend to turn away. But our desire is with this film, and we try to do it in a fun way as well, having a little fun while doing it. But our desire is for people to consider what is the fruit and what is the vision that they have for their own children. I'll mention now that, Ron Paul has a new curriculum that he just announced, where Gary North and Thomas Woods are helping with that. And Ron Paul curriculum, I'm not trying to sell that or not, but he said in his farewell address in Congress, he said, "My hope is in the homeschool movement." And so I do believe that the homeschool movement is a move of God's Spirit to bring about reformation and renewal in our nation.
Agreed. Joaquin, I'm really glad that you brought that up. That is true, that people are beginning to recognize, Christians are beginning to recognize, that the way we're going to actually bring transformation is going to be getting back to basics and shaping our children's worldviews. And if we hand them over to the state to educate them and train them, we're handing them over to a system of about 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, many years of their lives that are going to be teaching them a worldview that's opposite of what you teach them at home. It is not neutral. It is ultimately not for Christ, which means it is against him, in opposition to him. And if we're going to bring any change, it has to be by grabbing the hearts and minds of our children, leading them to Christ, and developing their worldview. We've been here with Joaquin Fernandez. Joaquin, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Go to the indoctrinationmovie.com. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. In the studios now with Joy Temby and me. That's it. That's all.
And then there were two.
And that's it's just you and I. And
yep.
So let's do this. Let's wrap it up. That was a lot to take in, right? And so let's start sort of unraveling it, unpacking it. Let's talk about some bigger issues, and let's get into this issue of the school system. What do you want to say as we come out of that? I mean, maybe somebody's thinking something, or what do you think are important points to highlight regarding this whole education system?
Well, first of all, I think, obviously, you should just watch the documentary.
Definitely.
There's a ton of information on there that we didn't get to. All sorts of, I mean, I don't know the best way to say this. Also, just even evidence as to how the public school system isn't working. It's
right.
Not that it just is taking God out of the equation, it's that it's not actually as effective as they're having us believe. And I say they're,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to sound like some sort of like
the system.
Conspiracy theorist or anything.
Right. No, yeah.
But for lack of a better word, they,
yeah.
You know. And
well, that's just the government.
How they would
express it. This is how it should go. This is how it should work. Let's just try to fix the system.
Exactly.
It's clearly not working. That's why everyone's complaining about
yeah.
it, because they're doing a terrible job.
Yeah, but it's an incredibly, as far as a social system, like we talked about how it's a welfare system of sorts,
mm-hmm.
it's incredibly effective in that way, because there are all sorts of people of all walks, races, religions, they're jumping on this bandwagon and talking about how important it is that we put more money, more service, all this stuff into our public school system, even though it kind of, you know, if it was a Christian saying that, it would be going against what they actually believe. But somehow it's an easy social program to swallow because we think of childhood education as this good thing. And of course it's a good thing.
Right,
we don't,
right.
You know,
it's not only a good thing, it's a Christian idea.
Yes.
I mean, the
oh,
whole idea,
yeah.
America is in the foundation, the people that came over were Christian, they had a Christian worldview. And why was America so big on education? Because of a biblical worldview. God wants us to glorify him with our minds, with our thoughts. We can do science because we believe in a God who carries everything along. Like, all that was a Christian worldview. I mean,
yeah.
Atheism as a foundational worldview doesn't give rise to the idea of upholding education as a necessary thing. Poetry, literature, art, math, logic, all the elements of education, they don't rise out of an atheistic belief system. So why in America was it so important, and why was it so good? Because it was done by families, Christian families, raising their kids up. Churches were the hubs where pastors oftentimes would have the community come in, and the pastors would equip and train some of the kids. Teaching, by the way, teachers used to be very competitive at the time with one another because education was private. It was families training families and their kids raising them up. These kids were sharp. But also, if you were an educator in those days, a teacher, you had to be very, very good at what you did. Because if it was private lessons,
yeah.
and if you weren't getting results for your kid with a particular teacher, or that teacher wasn't working hard with the kid, or wasn't doing well, loving your kid, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
you could easily go to another teacher that was popular in the town that was doing a better job.
Well, and you could absolutely tell. It wouldn't be like if your child had one teacher,
yeah.
and they taught your child.
Mm-hmm.
And your child wasn't learning anything,
yeah.
you would know what the problem was.
You knew where the source was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one thing Gary DeMar brings in his book, I think it was Gary DeMar's book, God and Government, talks about education. If I'm aiming at this the right way, I think it was that book. Might have been Joel's book. But the fact that early America, the education system was very strong, but it was all private. It was just individuals
yeah.
and families and churches doing this. And the literacy rate was amazing. It was
mm-hmm.
wonderful. And they were doing really well. And you look at some of our heroes. We didn't get a chance to talk about all of them. But some of the great intellectual giants of our history were homeschooled woodpeckers.
Yeah.
I took that from Jerry. That's Jerry's term he used to call himself. So I've just borrowed that now because I think it's funny. I like to be playful with it. But I understand. Listen, if you're listening to this show right now and you don't homeschool or Christian educate your kid, listen, you're hearing this from a guy in all humility that was right where you're at. Okay. Yeah. I used all the same arguments. I did. And I was vicious about it. I got to be honest. I wasn't nice about it. I was like, how dare you go into a Christian commune and da 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 da. I had the whole argument. Like, how are the public education kids going to hear the gospel if I don't send my kid? And the fact is, those aren't biblical arguments. Mm-hmm. They're just not. The biblical arguments can be made back and forth, up and down and sideways with scripture about you having the responsibility to disciple and educate your own child. The fact that there are no neutral facts in the world, and that if ready, this is important, Jesus says you're either for him or against him. So here's the question. Please hear this with humility. I am not trying to jab you. If you're a Christian right now listening to the show, this is, I promise you, not me trying to hurt your feelings or be vicious or angry or anything with you. Let me just ask you this question. Please just answer this. And again, take it with humility. Jesus says you're either for him or against him. Question. Is the public education system for Christ or against Christ? Think about it. Think about it. And if you say, well, neither, they're neutral. No such thing for Jesus.
No.
No such thing. There are no brute facts in the world.
Well, and it's, there's a nice way to put this, but okay. It's not a well thought out idea to say that, you know, your child will come home and you can teach them, or your child is a free thinker and they're not going to do that. We already have a disadvantage in America. It's a sort of camel through the eye of the needle situation here in which we're an incredibly rich nation. Even the poorest people that live in this country are vastly more wealthy compared to other countries.
Other nations. Even though we're trillions of dollars in debt.
Yes.
It's still at a higher level.
Yeah. But so we already have a disadvantage there. Your kids already have a disadvantage where they potentially will never have to rely on God's providence as far as food, money, job. They don't necessarily
in their own thinking.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
That's
right.
What I mean.
No,
you know,
I
in your
you.
Own mind, you don't. You would never need to consider reliance on God, and then you're going to go your whole young life. You're going to go to a school that is going to say you don't need God to think.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need God to do this. You don't need God to write. You don't need God to read. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do any of those things. So it's no wonder why everybody, there's these huge statistics about people once they hit 18 graduating God, vast majority of kids leave church and they never come back. And why would they, when they think they can do it on their own and they get to do all these seemingly fun things, they don't have to listen to God. And that's totally in their nature.
Yeah.
If they were never in Christ, then their nature is going to be to not do what God wants them to do.
That's right.
And then they're going to grow up thinking, well, I don't have to have God.
Yeah.
I don't
And
really
where are they getting
him.
That? They're getting it about 7 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
For many years of their lives in their school education system. You don't need God. As a matter of fact, you're not even allowed to talk about God here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what's amazing is that I'm not allowed to talk about God, but I am allowed to talk about things that are anti-God. That's the interesting thing is it's not neutral in the middle. It's things like, and this is something brought out in Indoctrination, the movie, the children are being equipped to believe and accept homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle. So watch this. That's not just neutral towards God. That's anti-God. That's anti-God's ways and his harmonious way that we live with one another. These are small children. It's going to break your heart. You're going to watch this movie. You're going to see actual footage of classrooms of teachers indoctrinating and training kids to accept and believe in homosexuality as a good lifestyle. And you'll notice in one of the clips where this woman's writing up on the board talking about homosexuality, when she's showing all these things, she's talking about homophobia and all these different things.
Yeah.
Where's that painting us now? Now the schools system is educating people to believe that if you're not here, then you're a homophobic. You're a bigot. You're a this. Where are they getting this?
Yeah.
Our public school education system.
And that's encouraging them to be, for lack of a better word, closet Christians.
Yeah.
Which is not a gospel-centered Christ view.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a closet Christian, you might not even be in Christ.
Right, right.
Or at least you're not receiving a proper instruction.
I'm hearing you. Yeah.
So, I mean, you would never want your child to learn how to be a closet Christian,
right?
Because then they're potentially following all these ideologies that really don't jive with the Bible at all.
Yeah.
And so, what's the point with them even being a Christian if they're going to be a closet Christian and you're going to send them somewhere that teaches them to be ashamed.
Yeah. But people will say
they believe.
But people will say also, they'll say this, and this is something R.C. Sproul Jr. answered, I think, in a very powerful way. But people say, well, you're just sheltering your kids. You're just keeping away from the world and sheltering your kids. He said, what are you going to accuse me of next, feeding and loving them? Yeah, I'm sheltering my kids. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am trying to protect my kids from the world. There's no question about that. And there is no biblical mandate that says that I have to send my children to the wolves.
Yeah.
Out of sheer necessity. Mm-hmm. You should send your kids to the wolves. How about this? How about this is a better idea? How about I get a chance to educate and disciple my own kids and strengthen them in their relationship with Jesus so that when I do send them out into the world, they're actually ready for it?
Yeah.
Do I really believe that my six-year-old, be honest, do I really believe that my six-year-old is strong enough in their worldview and their relationship with God and their understanding of the world and argumentation and everything else? Do I honestly believe they're strong enough in relationship with Jesus at 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 years old that I can send them off into a world that is actually hostile to the Christian faith, that will provide answers to them that are apart from God, tell them that God is not necessary for science or origins or beauty or love or truth or goodness or anything or in relationships, and you can't really know what is true?
Yeah.
Well, you can't really know what is actually right or wrong. You don't really know, so don't judge anybody. Do I really believe that I can send my 7-year-old child there, who I don't even know if is really at this time probably solid and firmly gripped in their relationship with Jesus at that moment? How about yes, you shelter your children in a loving Christian home and environment that educates them, that exposes them to the world in your own way? But can I share this, Joy? You know this about me. One of the things we had to do is I had to give my daughter the sex talk at like 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was not ready for that, Joy. I wasn't ready for that. It didn't need to come then. I didn't want it to come then. But why did it come? It came because at the time my daughter was in a public school education system and she learned about sex from other 7 and 8 year old girls on a field trip to a fair. And what did she hear? These girls were talking about all the boys that they wanted to have sexual relationships with.
Yeah.
7 and 8 year olds. My daughter was like, what's that? My daughter heard about this from the public school education system school bus with these other little kids. And here's the thing. Ready? I have a right to decide when my daughter has that conversation, not the school system, educating my child in it, or being around influences. Bad company corrupts good morals, the Bible says.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to protect my daughter from those influences until I believe that I can raise her up strong so she's ready. And let me tell you right now, my children now are not perfect, but they're wonderful kids. And I'll tell you right now, they have a Christian worldview and they see things now happening in the world and on television and they are repulsed by it.
Yeah.
They pull away from it and they know they have answers to it. If you ask my children, if I say, why is that wrong? They'll give you, well, because God says this or because God says that. And how should we live our lives? My kids have those answers and I'm still equipping them, still discipling them. But my kids, listen, this is amazing. My kids will be in public and they'll hear someone cussing and my kids are, they get closed up. They get like, they get scared. When they hear somebody like cursing near them, they start to close up and they're like, oh my gosh, like, do you hear that guy cussing? They think it's an odd thing. Why am I going to send them to an environment where it's acceptable lifestyle to speak with words and phrases and talk about stories that are just ungodly? I have a right to raise my child and protect them from that. We'll be right back. I'm on a rant right now, soapboxing right now. Jeff Durbin, Apologia Radio with Joy Timby. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Honor you, where's my flashing sword? And my hand takes hold in judgment. I will take vengeance upon mine enemies. And I will repay those who hate me. O Lord, raise me to thy right hand and count me among thy saints. And I shall count thee among my favored sheep. And you shall have...
Welcome back! Apologia Radio. Talking about gangbanging in a homeschool ghetto, yo. Don't be tripping. All right, Joy, give it to me now.
You wanted to share something. So you were talking about how, you know, your kids, you indoctrinate your kids for Jesus.
No question. Yes, I do.
Okay, so the other day I was sitting with your wife and Turtle, your youngest little boy.
Yes. He's 4.
In the car, and your wife was getting gas. And he was talking to me and he was saying, if there's a bad guy out there, I would shoot him. And I would go, well, And I just said, like, was he doing anything to you? And he was like, no, he's just bad. And so I said, well, if he's trying to hurt you, then you could protect yourself. But if he's just a bad guy, like the whole total depravity
right.
type thing.
Yeah.
I said, you'd want to tell him about Jesus.
Yeah.
And he goes, if a bad guy growled at me, would I shoot him? I go, no. If a bad guy growled at me, would I tell him about Jesus? Yes. Growled. So for all you evil atheists, non-believers out there that are going around growling at children.
Yeah, yeah.
Just know.
Turtle does not like it.
They're going to preach the word to you.
Yeah.
In your face.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Amazing.
But yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that Jeff's kids talk about.
Yeah.
And it's because you've chosen to teach them those things.
Right, right. Exactly.
Well, and I mean, you know, from my personal experience, I was a public schooled child.
Mm-hmm.
All the years, public school.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, you know, not outside of my own opinion, out of my own experience, that is where I, you know, decided what I believed
mm-hmm.
politically. And then obviously there was a huge influence on, you know, like I said earlier, like if you had a teacher that was your hero, someone
right.
you looked up to,
right.
your beliefs kind of evolved. And there was a certain point, obviously, as I got older in high school, where my views started to mirror more the teachers mm. that I loved mm-hmm. as opposed to what I was learning at home.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a Christian home. My mom was a Christian. She took me to church.
Mm-hmm.
We were very involved in church. I was there all the time, probably more so than a lot of the other kids. And I still was indoctrinated
mm-hmm.
in public school.
That's right.
And that's just how it was. I didn't consider for a very long time. I was a Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a very long time. Yeah. I thought people were good, mm-hmm. basically good. I thought just so many things about history. That was one of my favorite topics. One of my favorite teachers was my history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And my area of history was the Gilded Age, mm-hmm. which is all those Rockefeller, Carnegie,
yeah.
all those people. And I never looked at that history like I did today when it was mentioned on the show.
Yeah.
Talking, you know, it just, I didn't look at it.
Yeah.
With truth, because right. I didn't know it.
Hmm.
And so, I mean, obviously I'm here today.
Mm-hmm.
God saves.
Yes.
God's sovereign.
He's still sovereign.
He's sovereign.
Right.
But I mean,
you bring up a good point.
You could, if you consider what you'd want your kids to go through. Well, and also to mention, I did have a strong foundation in church. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was raised Christian. And then the times that I didn't just change my beliefs to what I was learning in school,
mm-hmm.
I would hear those things and I would think, but that's what they're teaching me. And then I would hear the things I was learning at home and I'd think, that's what they're teaching me. And it created all this turmoil
sure.
and all this questioning things that if I had just been, if my education had been Christ-centered, I wouldn't have been hearing two different things and then having to decide
mm-hmm.
which one I believed or having to come to sort of a middle agreement. And I can't even tell you how many more people
mm-hmm.
I could have saved for the kingdom if I had been preaching truth
that's
all those
right.
years that I had been talking and talking and giving
right.
advice and all this stuff.
Yeah. And the thing is too, let's be honest now, if we send our children to school for about 6 or 7 hours a day, okay, let's be honest. Are you really going to, for 6 or 7 hours a day when they get home, begin
yeah.
to work with them and disciple them? And be honest. No.
Well, and it's hard because this is a question that I want to pose to you. Because there are certain situations in which it would seem that it's not possible
mm-hmm.
to homeschool children. Like if you have a single parent
mm-hmm.
That needs to work to
yeah.
provide for the child. And it's just, I understand that there are people that are probably hearing the show going, but no, I'm not that person that wants to just send my child to public school, but I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
my answer to that is there are always ways. You can get connected to all kinds of homeschool programs and co-op programs that are happening right now. My kids actually go to a co-op at least once a week
mm-hmm.
To spend all day long with other kids under the instruction of a teacher that's instructing them in a biblical worldview,
yeah.
a rigorously intense biblical worldview. This woman is stellar. And so you have those programs as well. But also I think that this is a responsibility here that lies within us as the church. Yeah. What I mean by that is that I think that if we have single moms or single dads in our body that cannot spend the time homeschooling their kids during the day, then the church needs to raise up to help to educate these kids. In other words, homeschool families like mine or others within communities of the church need to be willing to take these kids on as part of their as part of the responsibility of the church to care for one another's needs, to help in that respect. To say, well, how about this? I'll teach them for 4 hours in the morning. I'll help them as they go through their stuff. But at night, you can work on them for 2 hours when you get home, or whatever it is. You can work on this stuff. Let me say this: it is possible. Every argument that I ever had against homeschooling was taken down.
Yeah,
hardcore taken down. Like socialization. That's what I was worried about. How they get socialized. My kids are socialized more now, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. My daughter's birthday. I think you were there for it. I think it was. I don't know which one it was. Both of them were nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like one of them. There was like 25 little girls running around.
It was like the craziest house party you've ever been to.
It was ridiculous. It was actually a little out of control.
And your wife was all stressed out.
Yes.
And you just kept saying, "It's a party, babe.
Yeah,
it's a party.
It's a party. It's a party."
Yeah, looking at you,
this is
like
crazy. I was like, "Hey, it's a party. Hey, they're here to party, man.
Hey, Jeff, take control. It's a party.
It's a
party. I don't know what to tell you."
That's my response. That's me as a guy. It's a party, man. They came to party.
They're like banging lightsabers on the walls.
Yeah, something breaks. I'm like, "It's a party, man." That's just my response to it.
I think at one point Luke actually crawled through a window of your house.
Yes, he did.
Didn't he?
To get Sage. Because my son Sage always attacks Luke. He's always grabbing his hat off his head. And so Luke crawled through a window of my house because Sage was sitting in the room and he went to just grab him and attack him. But yeah,
Luke,
my kids are. Yeah,
imagine that full size
big
man
old bear
crawling through
that's right.
a window
yeah.
in your home.
Yeah, he's very.
If that
big.
Doesn't make you want to buy a gun.
Yeah, since Sage has been late, Luke's known Sage since he's been very, very little. And Sage and Luke, every time they're around each other, they just start attacking each other.
Yeah.
Sage
it's
will.
Love.
Yeah, it's love. But Sage, okay, here's Luke. I'm going to attack him.
Yeah.
I'm going to attack him. I'm going to take his hat. And Sage, we're just normally just chilling, talking in my house. And Sage and Luke are running around the house.
Yep.
Like outside. Luke is climbing through windows. Luke is pounding Sage into an oblivion. By the way, that's also an important thing about educating our children. One thing that I think is wrong about the public school education system that is bad, really, really bad, is they only put kids really like, you know, like eighth graders, seventh graders, sixth graders. They're not learning to interact with a whole spectrum of ages. My kids actually are comfortable with adults and conversing with them and younger kids. There's a whole spectrum of the ages go across a whole range. So they get to interact with a whole range of people's ages and learn to interact with adults and small kids. It really is spectacular to see it happen. We'll be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. In the studio with Joy, the girl, Tembi. Brought to you by the American Vision. Hit them up at AmericanVision.org or AmericanVision.com. Get some materials. Amazing stuff. Get it, guys. And in your carts, as you leave, make sure you leave in the comments. Thank you for your support of Apologia Radio. Also, go to ApologiaRadio.com, and you can pray for us, like us, and you can donate through the homepage there to help support this ministry as we're a witness for the gospel in the culture. And so this is such a huge subject. I'm just excited to talk about it. But the issue of homeschooling, don't homeschool because they're not socialized. That's not true. My kids, some of Sage's best friends, I'm using my kids as an example here, my guinea pigs today, but because I was afraid of all these things going into it. I was scared of it. Because I was, like you, I was public school raised.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are they going to get socialized? How are they going to learn? How are they going to, I mean, they're going to be stupid. Like, I mean, serious. Like, I don't know how to teach them all these things. And how are they going to do it? But it's amazing. The programs and everything we have, they are amazing. They learn to want to learn and to be self-taught. My kids are constantly reading books. They're reading the classics and original source stuff. They're reading constantly. But I was always afraid of like the socialization thing. How's it going to take place? And let me alleviate that concern. It's amazing. The homeschool movement, there are co-op groups everywhere. They spend time with one another. They're with other kids. They do this stuff. But one thing also that really is I think interesting to me is that my son Sage, some of his best friends are the deacon candidates from our church, the men that are there. He loves and respects these men. He likes their conversations. He actually engages with them and their level of intellect more than he does with someone that's even 13 years old, his own age, because he likes that kind of talk and language. But he also can and does interact well with the kids at his age. But he has this spectrum he's able to move across of the intelligent conversation that's deep and adult-like, and the 13-year-old, they're just having fun hanging out as guys, and he is able to communicate with the young kids. And my kid, my son Sage, is very different in the sense that he's very kind of like he has this very kind of very serious tone to him all the time. But my other kids are very different. The anti-socialization thing is just not true. It doesn't take place. But I want to hit something you said, too. I was raised in a public education system as well. And can I say this? And by the way, if you have kids listening right now, you may want to turn it off or get them out of the room. I was very sexually promiscuous. I wasn't a Christian until later in life. And I was very, very sexually promiscuous in school. And do you know where a lot of it was taking place? In school. I'm not going to go into details, but I'll tell you right now, from the age of 9 years old till 17 years old, I can't tell you how many acts of this stuff were happening in school. And that was the culture.
Yeah.
That was just the culture. It wasn't wrong. You can do this. And we had public school education. We had sex education in school, handing out condoms in school and those kinds of things. That's what they were doing. It was acceptable. And
nowadays it's almost frowned upon to shelter your kids.
Right.
The fact that you wouldn't want them to experience that. That's another argument. It's like, well, they want them to have the whole high school experience. But I don't think, okay, if I could go back, I would. To talk to my younger self, I would tell myself, you have plenty of time to be an adult, and it's not as fun as the things. I mean, you don't have to pay bills. You don't have to do all this stuff. You know, just take this time to be a kid.
Yeah.
You'll have plenty of time to mess up and sin and struggle for the rest of your life.
That's right.
But for now, when your parents say, that's bad, don't do it, just listen.
Yeah, that's right. Right, right.
And so if your children could be in a position where you could keep them. You can't keep them from everything, and you never want to be that parent that's totally naive and thinks your child never does anything wrong. Mm-hmm. But when you can see what they're doing, you're going to be more likely to know what's going on with them, because they are little people. They do sin and struggle. Mm-hmm. And if you are with them all the time, you're going to know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. You're not just going to know that they're not doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. You're going to know what's going on with them. You're going to be able to see,
and
just speak, like in the body.
And speak into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And that's the thing, is I'm able to be there. My wife is able to be there now around our kids and educating them when they make these mistakes and explain, this is why that is wrong and here's why. We're able to have conversations. Last night, my son Sage and I, we were up for about an hour talking to each other about very deep, like, worldview issue stuff. I was explaining stuff from a biblical perspective to him. We sat for an hour talking about really deep conversations about the world and about life and about education. And he's with it, and he's engaged, and he's understanding. I'm able to raise and shape my own son's mind throughout the day, throughout his week, throughout his life. He has a foundation. I have this with all my kids, and I'm not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect teacher. And my kids aren't perfect kids. But you know what? I'm looking at my kids now, and I'm thinking, I can't imagine what would have happened with these kids if I had left them in the hands of the state.
Well, and the thing is they look to you
as
teacher. They look to you as the person that disciples them. They don't look to their teacher. So when they have a question about whatever, God, life, something.
Is this wrong?
They're going to say, who's my teacher? It's my dad. It's my mom. Mm-hmm. And I want to go to them. And then you're going to be able to say what you believe, what you want them to hear.
That's right. And God says, teach these words that I am giving you today. They're to be on your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you rise, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. But bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's what God calls us to do. We'll be right back after this. We're back on Apologia Radio. Joy the Girl and me, Jeff Durbin. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. Share this episode with your friends, with your buddies. Get it out, guys.
With your brosefs.
With your brosefs. Everyone is waiting for me to say it. That's what I love, is they're all waiting for me to say it. Well, let's talk some more about this issue of homeschooling, educating our kids. I mentioned a moment ago in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the command of God is to hear, O Israel, the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh, Eloheinu, Yahweh, Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And God commands us. He says that we are to be careful to follow all these things, careful to follow them. He says, I love this. Watch this. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all the his statutes and commands I'm giving you, your son and your grandson. and so that you may have a long life. Do you see what God has a perspective of is generations, your son, your grandson. Teach them these things. We're called to raise our kids up when we lie down, when we rise up, pointing them to God constantly. And I want to say this, if we're sending them to the state, to a public school education system, then we are handing over our children to Caesar. And we're going to listen to a clip right here of Vodi Bakum saying, if you hand your kids over to Caesar, don't be surprised when they come home acting like Romans.
Yep.
And that's such a good way to put that. But we're responsible for the education of our children. And so let's unless you have something you want to say before we go into the clip here, let's listen to a clip. This is Vodi Bakum talking about education in our children.
90% of Christians allow our government to educate their children. We are losing somewhere between 70 and 88% of our children by the end of their freshman year in college. That's the children of evangelicals. Somewhere between 70 and 88% of them have nothing to do with spiritual things by the end of their freshman year in college. Now, let me give you the easy answer before we go into a more detailed answer. The easy answer is this. If we continue to send our children to Caesar for their education, we need to stop being surprised when they come home as Romans.
Powerful, and I think everyone needs to think hard about that because it's true. Do you know that statistics are actually in reverse for homeschool? So when we say that, kids that are raised in Christian homes that go to public education systems, how they abandon their faith in their freshman year and everything mm-hmm. else, how it's about 70, 80. The statistics are hanging between 70 to 88%. That's where they go. Well, it's reverse for homeschool. So, in other words, you've got 85% or so of these kids that are homeschooled in Christian families with a Christian worldview. Those kids are not abandoning Christ. About 15% or so are. And so, do you see how it's reversed?
Yeah.
So, does that make sense? I mean, it's true. If you're sending them to Caesar, they're going to come home like Romans.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so, we're going to get some more from here.
Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. From K through 12, children spend 14,000 seat hours in school. Let me say that again, 14,000 seat hours in school. The average Christian family spends less than 30 minutes per week discussing spiritual matters. Parents who think that a few conversations centered around, what did you learn today, need to be honest about the usual answer to that question, which is nothing.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. I'm going to be honest about that. Okay, that's true. I have to confess to that, be transparent, that one of the things that hit me really hard was just that brute fact right there. Mm-hmm. That thinking about the amount of time that I was sending my children to the public school education system, they were separating. I'm giving my kids to a system that is saying, no God, no God, no God. You can do all these things without God, and actually speaking into their lives things that are antithetical to the biblical worldview. And I had to ask this question. Well, I was saying, well, I'll teach them the gospel. I'll raise them up, and then I'll send them as witnesses into that culture. And mm-hmm. I had to be honest. I'm looking at my life, my week, and I'm saying, am I truly countering the 7 hours a day that they're spending at this school?
Yeah.
Am I doing that? And the answer was no.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be honest. I'm being transparent. I'm confessing that to myself. I lied about, well, I'll raise my kids up. I'll do it myself and send them to school. The truth is I wasn't doing that. I didn't get more than 2 hours a week with my kids to really talk about these things. And I don't even know what they're learning. And when I did learn, it was a shocker to me. When I went to do this art masterpiece class, I talk about this often because it shocked me. I'm supposed to be teaching these kindergartners art, how to do plethographs. But I have to read to them a story first before they do the plethographs. And the story was an evolutionary view of man. It was that it ultimately evolved from the soup to us. We used to live in caves because we were half dumb, and we were drawing on cave walls.
Yeah.
That's what I'm supposed to teach these kindergartners that? Mm-hmm. I obviously didn't. I actually went in and taught them creation. So what? Yeah, I did. But here's the thing. I looked at that, and I said, I can't counteract that. I don't know what else they're getting. My daughter is like 7 or 8 years old. She's being persecuted in school for a recess conversation with a boy who's attacking her faith.
Yeah.
She's not allowed to defend her faith, but he was coddled and patted on his head saying, you'll be okay. We're sorry she said that to you. But it was her that was responding to her faith being attacked. And she was told she's not allowed to talk about God. This is my 7 or 8 year old daughter. And then she's having sex conversations on a school bus with other 7 or 8 year old girls they're on the bus talking about what little boys that they want to have these intimate relationships with. She's 7 or 8 years old. I realized then I can't rescue them from this if I don't have them. I can't keep delivering them into the mouth of the lion and then start yelling at the lion when it's chomping down on their heads.
Well, especially if before Christ, I mean, that's what they want. That's what they're geared towards. That's the nature.
Yeah.
Before they're in Christ,
yeah.
That's what they're going to want to talk about. That's what they're going to, you know what I mean?
You got like, it. You got
whether
it.
Whether they think, oh, I want to talk about this, they're going to feel, they're going to be predisposed to start having conversations about who they want to sleep with when they're 7 years old.
That's right.
Because that's just the darkness of us.
Yes. Yeah. We found out about it, by the way. I'm just going to share this with you because I think this is an important issue and I want you to know about it. We found out about this conversation she had on a bus because of something she wrote in her diary. We said, how does she know that word?
Yeah. It really did sink in to her.
Here's what I said. She doesn't hear that from me. She doesn't hear that from my wife. She doesn't hear that from my other kids. She does not hear that from television shows. We do not let her watch shows that talk about these things.
Yeah.
We have protected her from this. So my question was, where did she hear it? And so I sat down with her in a real loving and gentle way. And I said, where did you hear this, Imogen? Where did you hear it? And that's where I found out.
Yeah.
She didn't even hear that conversation in my house. It's not coming in through the television screen. We don't let them do that. And then sure enough, where's she getting it? Bad company corrupts good morals. That's where she's getting it at school.
Yeah.
And there's no way for me to counteract that. I needed to rescue my kids. I'll tell you, it's been one of the greatest blessings of my life, and God preserving me as a pastor and as a father, is homeschooling my kids. It has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. Let's listen some more.
There are three questions that we always get, okay? Number one, every homeschool family knows. It is the question of questions. It is, if we have any homeschool families in here, I'm not even going to say it. What's the question? What about socialization? Exactly, we get that, you know. And that's the easy one, all right? What about socialization? The other question is that legal? And the other question is, where do you get your curriculum? Who oversees your curriculum? Those are the three questions. Why does everyone ask the exact same three questions? Because everyone's been discipled by the same teacher.
Yep.
And the first question everybody asks is, how can you educate your own children? Why? Why? Because the system wants you to be a slave. I'm a free man. My children are mine, not wards of the state. The government has no jurisdiction over my children.
Powerful words. Powerful words.
Yeah. Well, and I think it. We kind of touched slightly on these two things. But another good points to be made are that you talked about how, well, and the documentary talks about this as well. It talks about the Darwinian schooling,
yes,
how they're separated into groups based on manufacture date.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that also has to do with the, you know, the industrial age and all that.
Yeah. Good point.
But talking about how, well, and that's, you also see that in programs like No Child Left Behind,
right?
Things like that, how kids would be grouped by age or grade or age, you know, basically, and how that's just not, just in as far as common sense goes, we've seen that that just doesn't work. You've seen it if you have a kid that is incredibly smart,
excelling,
and they are learning about this set curriculum.
And then someone says to you right now, here's the response to you. Yeah, but the public school system also handles that. If they excel in their programs, they put them in other programs. What are we forgetting? It's a godless education. So even if you said, yeah, but they have programs for those really smart kids, Joy.
I was never in them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not trying to be immodest, but I was always ahead.
Yes.
Always ahead.
Right.
And I was never in those.
Yeah, right.
I was always the teacher favorite because I love to read and I liked school and I was good at school and I was never in those extra things. I loved the classes that allowed us freedom where we could talk and workshop and all this stuff. And I just didn't see a lot of that. I mean, when I got older, there was like AP classes and stuff like that, but there were classes that I just felt like, and then I would ask the teacher a question and they wouldn't even know the answer. Actually, specifically, the time I'm thinking of is a time when we were learning about evolution.
Yeah.
I started asking questions and the teacher, I'm pretty sure he was also a PE teacher, didn't, and nothing against him, but he legitimately did not know how to answer my question. He was just teaching exactly what was out of the book.
Well, I got in trouble once in high school in science class. I was not where I'm at now, but I did. We were learning about evolutionary history and everything else. We're learning about different ages and all this that happened. And I remember this vividly because I wasn't a Christian yet. I just simply asked the teacher. I said, "Can you explain to me how we know this? Because you're giving me the story, right?" And I wasn't taking a jab. I just wanted to know because we had a test coming up, and he was trying to review for the test. And I said, "Can you explain to me how we know this? Like, what proof do we have? How do we know this?" And the science teacher got very upset with me for even thinking to question and challenge this. And I remember that I was like, "No, I was like, I'm just asking.
Yeah,
you,
you're not trying.
Like,
to
how do
start
I know?
Anything.
Like, is this somewhere that I can look at this? Can I touch this? Can I? How do I know it? Like, where do I go to find out this information? Because I was being required to memorize this stuff. And he chewed me out for even questioning the dogma. And this is before I was a Christian. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just in a science class learning this, and I was asking the questions, and I got reamed for asking the question. And so that's the sort of thing that can happen. It just goes to show that it is an antithetical biblical an antithetical worldview to the biblical worldview. And I want to say, here's a good thing to talk about. Vody Bakum gave top five reasons not to send your kids back to government schools. Okay, so just listen to his reasoning here. Just a couple of points, and we're wrapping up this episode, but I'll at least give it to you this way. Number one, the Bible commands Christ-centered education. All right, is that enough? Done. Close the book. Show's over.
Okay.
Is that enough? The Bible commands you to raise up your kids in the way they should go. The Bible tells you that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, that there are no brute facts. Tells us that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Do you believe that? Let me ask you, do you believe that? I know you do. But all I would ask is that you think about maybe an inconsistency in our lives as a church. And we're saying, yes, Jesus is Lord of all, even of my reasoning. All the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do I believe that? Do I believe that in education? Do I believe that I can send my child to hundreds and hundreds of hours of education in a worldview of science and literature and art and poetry and history apart from God, and then I can actually rescue them, that I'm actually going to be able to send them there. They're going to learn that stuff, and I'm going to be able to somehow pick up all the pieces. I don't know. They're not in my hands. They're in somebody else's hands. So number one, the Bible commands Christ-centered education. That's the first point. Two, government education is anti-Christian. Government education is anti-Christian. It's true. It's true. What is the government saying all today? Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. And then they go, "Give us your kids." No thanks.
Yeah.
Number three, America's schools are morally repugnant. A to the men. When you have courses being taught in public schools promoting worldviews and lives and relationships that are against what God calls us to do and to be, it is morally repugnant. You have kids today that are coming out. These are like college-educated kids today, and they're saying things like, "I can't know anything for certain."
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm a moral relativist.
Why do we even go to school if you can't know anything?
You can't know anything.
Why are you a teacher if you can't know anything
right,
for certain?
Right, right. I don't know that for certain. Do you know that for certain? Cy Tenbrook and Caton. America's schools, number four, are among the worst in the industrialized world. That's a point to be made. And number five, ready? You don't have to. You don't have to send your kids back to government schools.
Yeah.
How's that for the final nail? You don't have to. Go get indoctrinationmovie.com. Get that film. Go to AmericanVision.com. Pick up some materials on this point. Joy, we did it. It's our own show today without Luke.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful.
I wish I could have taken a few tests in high school with my worldview. Just like filled nothing out and just been like, "Are we really sure about
any of
this?"
Yeah, I can't know anything for certain. I'm a moral relativist. Stop complaining. I'm an ape. Get up on the table, start picking bugs off of them. And they start yelling at you. Go, "I'm just buying into what you tell me."